Your health will play a major role in your ability to achieve a rewarding retirement lifestyle. By keeping mentally, emotionally, and physically fit, you can enjoy your age, whatever it is, to its fullest. Good health is the foundation for successful retirement. The interaction of physical, mental, and emotional factors, and planning for health can improve in retirement. Health is a greatly influenced lifestyle decision about exercise, nutrition, rest, dealing with stress, moderation in all things. I put out on the board here what it is about burning calories through exercise, the probable calorie expenditure per hour for a 150-pound person. And it goes all the way from bowling at 190 calories up to jogging at 665. Where do you fit in? Where do you take your exercise?
Walking.
I jog on my trampoline and exercise at the same time.
Jog and trampoline?
On my trampoline.
Yeah? Uh-huh. How about that? Trampoline is not here. Walking. Do we have walking on here?
Yeah.
Third one. Mm-hmm. The third one. Okay. So it's 210. This is for 2.5 miles per hour. Somebody said they were a gardener before, and they didn't know that they had 220 calories per hour. Bowling? You think it's more? Less than that?
For an hour?
For a 150-pound person?
If you go to jog, you're 665 for 9. That's full for 200. I'm bowling 3 hours instead of jogging for 1.
Oh. Well, if you go if you dispute any of this information here, let me tell you where it was secured from. It is the Department of Philosophy, Psychology, and Biophysics at the University of Illinois, with additions from the Center for Science in Public Interest.
It all depends on how hard you fall and how hard you chug. Right? Yeah. The volume difference is there too.
Right.
You have to grab an awful lot of balls in table tennis to use up 360 calories.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but you move around a lot.
Yeah, you do. You have a fast game going.
Right. Ruth and I like the table tennis. But swimming is our way in which we do most of our exercises besides walking. We were up in the Canadian Rockies up at Lake Louise, and Ruth said, you want to go canoeing? I haven't been canoeing in years. Beautiful lake, there's mountains there, you know. So we went canoeing. 230 calories.
Should have gone across the road and hiked up the Parvin Valley.
Yeah. That would have been better, huh?
No, canoeing is fine.
Please, fine.
Square dancing is a good way. Mm-hmm. This is what the president does, you know.
Yeah.
When he goes out to his ranch. Well, he chops wood.
He looks like he's in really good shape.
Yeah,
he
takes a nap every afternoon too.
Yeah.
Well, combination of both.
Yes.
Okay.
Tennis court, 20.
When we're talking about health care and about dynamic fitness, we also talk about how to deal with stress, which is a major factor in the person's lives at this stage of the game. Stress is a part of daily living. We all experience it. Some people even thrive on it. It can result either from a positive or a negative circumstance. A positive one being like a birth in a family, or a negative one like a death in a family. An unrelieved stress can cause the lack of concentration, irritability, fatigue, loss of appetite, chronic anxiety, and depression. If untreated, it can also lead to ulcers, hypertension, heart disease, or stroke. It's important to determine what level of stress that you function at best and how to cope with stress that goes beyond that point. Some of the tips for dealing with stress you'll find in your book on page 5, such as recognizing stress, admitting that you feel it, identifying the cause of stress, taking action, deciding what you want, and then act. Indecision is one of the worst stress producers. To accept the fact that you can't control every situation, and to seek advice from someone that you can talk to openly. Those of you who were at the Bible study this morning, remember what our theologian said about going to a counselor with his family to talk about parenting.
He should have said that real loud, because a lot of the people I know who have need for that, the husband won't go.
Mm-hmm. It's not always easy to get both people to get into counseling like that. But it's good to be able to talk those things out openly, and even with a counselor. Exercise is one way of dealing with stress, as well as rest, because fatigue makes even small problems loom larger. Try mind-relaxing techniques, such as yoga and music, meditation, and hypnosis. Have any of you ever been hypnotized? Or used yoga? How about music? That's a common way of dealing with stress, and meditation. Avoiding self-medication and potentially abusive substances. I put on a conference one time on healthcare for the elderly, and we showed a film in which these older people go to the doctor and he asks them to bring in all the medications that they use. And he had a big jar all full of them. Some of them, you know, go to a variety of doctors. One doctor will prescribe this medicine, this pill. Another doctor will prescribe another one. And the older folks don't really understand. If you mix those things, you can get a very bad situation, which produces stress. And finally, it says, if you laugh more, you can deal with stress. Laughter is one of the greatest things that we can do. For it's a factor in every minor and major illness as far as stress is concerned, and it has positive and negative sources. We should recognize these, and we should use our techniques in dealing with them. Now let's talk a little bit about the meaningful use of time. In retirement, you're going to have more free time, which is one of the greatest rewards that you will have. it brings an additional 50 hours a week, or 2,600 hours a year. Using time in a meaningful way will increase life satisfaction. And each person must define for himself or herself what constitutes meaningful use of time. For if you use your time well, then your needs and their depth and their intensity will grow. You must identify your current needs and then find activities that will help you achieve them. Your needs will be met if you spend your time well, through creativity, through entertainment and adventure, through recognition and self-esteem, through the learning and developing of new skills, through physical fitness, increased income, participation in friendship, and trying to structure your daily living. And they also put in here spiritual growth and a sense of challenge and contributing to the well-being of others and sheer enjoyment. Now let's talk about some of these matters that we use as far as the use of our time is concerned. Somebody mentioned volunteering in a daycare center, nursing home, and so forth. What are some of the other things that you do if you're already retired?
The senior center is a good place to find various activities. Mm-hmm. If you have an active senior center, if you don't want to get busy, of course you have.
What do you do at the senior center?
I don't do it all, believe me. Mm-hmm. But they do have crafts, they have painting classes, they have card groups, they have pool tables. They have a senior Olympic every summer, mm-hmm. and dancing, and of course there's meals every day.
Right. Do you know the reason?
And they handle the RSVP, which is the volunteer.
Right.
Volunteers. They handle other things like that too.
Do you know the real reason that the meal program was developed by the federal government?
I can guess. People don't eat right otherwise.
Not only that.
Get people out of their house. Right.
Get people together.
Socialization.
People act with normal people. Mm-hmm.
Not the meal.
I have a pin on my sweater, mm-hmm. which is the copy of a postage stamp, and it's the Wyoming State Bird, but it's also the name we chose for our senior chorus group. Mm. People who love to sing, and we just have such a good time.
What is the name of the bird?
Meadowlark.
Meadowlark. That's from the Big Sky.
Well, it's an old song. Social activities, get together and sing.
Mm-hmm. And then there's picnics and outings and trips too, even.
Right. What else besides senior centers and daycare? Meals on Wheels.
Well, if you have an annuitant group from your husband's company or from your company, that's a good way to go. An annuitants group. My husband worked for Amoco, and they have an active annuitants group. Meet once a month. They have educational programs, informative, and fun ones too. Have a party every sometime in December, mm-hmm. dinner and dance.
Yeah, down in Florida, we have a lot of former federal employees. Who have retired down there. And so they have groups that meet regularly.
There are church groups, mm-hmm. and there are interchurch groups. Some churches invite anyone.
Are you familiar with the Shepherd Center concept? Have you ever heard of that?
No. Nope. I've heard of it, but I'm not sure what
it is. Well, it comes out of Kansas City. And it was an interfaith group that got together in the community to set up services for the elderly. And they're held in a Presbyterian church, but they represent churches and congregations of all denominations. And they have a very active program which they carry out there every day of the week. And they offer all kinds of crafts, courses, trips, help with home repair, things which need to be done for elderly people and they can't afford to do them themselves. They have trade-offs as far as that is concerned. Did you ever hear of a service bank? You know what that is? You know what a blood bank is, don't you? Well, we have a setup now in South Florida where if you volunteer and give service to someone, you get credit for that. Then when you need that service, you can draw on it, and it's available for you. And there's a consortium down in Dade County, which is in Miami, in that area. And it has hospice in it, as well as a South Shore Hospital in Miami Beach, and some senior organizations. And people donate their time as volunteers, and their time is recorded by computers and so forth, and they're able to draw on that when their time comes. Or they're able to give it out to somebody else in their family who may need that kind of help. It's a new concept which has just been in the operation for a couple of years. Volunteering is certainly one of the ways in which we can participate when we are retired. I was chair of the RSVP Advisory Council in Broward County, and we had one of the largest groups of volunteers in the whole state of Florida. But what we needed to do more than anything else was to recognize these people. And that's something which I don't think our churches do too well, to recognize the volunteers that we have in our churches and the time that they give in a meaningful way in serving. Do any of your churches do anything in the way of recognizing volunteers?
No. Not recognizing anymore.
If somebody's been there for years and years and retires, like when our organist retired, one friend of mine reached 80, another one reached 90 something, then they'd celebrate their birthday with a special party.
Did you know there was a Sunday set aside now for seniors?
No.
In August. It was just celebrated for the first time this year. The president signed a declaration. It started out with a lady down in Florida, and it was proposed, and finally President Reagan signed it. So that there is a Sunday, which is not a part of the liturgical calendar, but can be used in churches to recognize volunteers and seniors and so forth. The benefits of volunteering are that we provide an outlet for skills and talents. We need to be kept involved. It provides status and recognition, provides opportunities for learning and for personal growth, and it lets you contribute to the welfare of others. If begun before retirement, that it helps to ease the transition into retirement by meeting some of the needs that work has met. people come down to Florida and they think, you know, well, I don't have to work anymore. I'm going out and play golf all day, and I'm going to be happy. Doesn't always happen that way.
Get bored.
They get bored, right. The people who have retired in Florida and found a way of using their volunteer time are the most successful ones.
What I think is sad is when let's say a husband retires and the wife hangs on to a job because she can't stand to have him home or some such excuse, and then something happens to him before she has enjoyed their retirement. And then she ends up facing retirement alone.
This is a sad situation, and we're going to have more and more of those kinds of examples. Because women will outlive men. And there are more women now who are in that situation than there are men. The growing numbers of older persons are either returning to classrooms. Do you have free classes in your state?
Yes.
As far as adult education is concerned, higher education, where seniors can come and audit the courses without credit.
I think this new commission on aging in the church is probably going to be a good thing if we can get it off the ground. And the thinking is that, you know, we're wasting the talent of seniors when they get ready to retire and do retire. Mm-hmm. We're letting them get away from us. Mm-hmm. And we need a policy. And as years go on, more, there's less children and there's more seniors. Mm-hmm.
Industry is recognizing this. You know who works now in McDonald's?
Yeah. A lot of seniors.
These seniors are working at McDonald's now. Lots of kids.
And as bag boys in the grocery store.
Right.
That's true.
And they don't necessarily do it just for the money.
But I think it's too bad in this day and age if jobs are so scarce that seniors aren't taking them.
But these are mostly jobs that do not pay that well, that no one else wants to take. They're usually $4 or $5 jobs that a person that doesn't have another income couldn't possibly live on.
But it is a good job for kids just getting their feet wet.
Well, let's say it's during the day when the kids are still going to school. They need somebody to work that too.
In many cases, they can't get the kids to take the jobs.
That's true. That's absolutely true. They want more money than teenagers.
Right. How about Elder Hospital? Have you all known about that?
I understand that Poland is now a member of the Elder Hospital.
Yeah. Last summer I had my first experience with an Elder Hospital. I was up in Pennsylvania, in Eastern Pennsylvania, and I spent a week up there. I had a AARP sponsored the scholarship, so I was able to take the courses which were offered, and I hadn't been back in that kind of a situation for many, many years, but I enjoyed it, and it's very reasonable. Usually it's around $250 for a whole week, including meals, three courses, housing, and so forth.
Do you have any idea how long it's been in existence?
Oh, at least 5 years, I think.
The catalog is amazing because it covers the entire United States and it covers Europe.
And I think there's one up there in the library.
Yeah, right.
And the
topics are really very interesting.
There's
quite a range of topics that you can get involved with.
We were trying to think in terms of maybe going to Hungary, from which my parents originally came, and they even have courses over there. the other housing center.
Nobody in our community ever heard of it. We sent to Dayton and got our information, but I just don't think it's published precise enough.
Well, you can share the information now. I know all about it.
I've seen it.
Do you have to become a member, pay a membership or what?
No.
Just get in early so you get your choice of what you want.
But the book is in libraries and places like that.
It's upstairs.
Yeah, but I mean other places.
Oh, yeah, subscribe to it. Just subscribe to your community. Right.
They're usually, the places they have them are usually or very often in very scenic, very, very desirable areas also. With, and they have maybe 1 or 2 days or half, I sound like a frog, I'm sorry, 2 days of, half days of fun things, you know, where they take you on scenic trips and it's more than just studying, it's a good deal.
What I did at Eastern Pennsylvania was I took three subjects. One was on rhythm, taught by a man who had married a Japanese, taught us how to play the Japanese drums and listen to music and a video that he made over in Japan on the music that they have over there. Compared this with Bach and things of that nature. One on what is in a lake. And we went out to a lake and took out whatever we could take out from a lake and brought it back and put them under microscopes and saw what was in a lake, sort of dealing with the ecology of nature. And the last one was on what lies ahead. What lies ahead as far as the ups and downs of economics are concerned. My wife is always asking me what's going to be coming up and do we have enough in our reserve to take care of us. And so you know the way in which this professor instructed us. He said, if you take a coin and you flip it up, how many times will it come out heads against tails? So he sent us over into the computer setup that they have in that school, Lafayette College or University. And we had to put into the computer, if we flip a coin for 1,000 times, how many times would it come up heads? How many times would it come up tails? Again, it was like this, you know? The ups and the downs, the hills and the valleys, and you can't really tell. It's a random selection. She brought down the Elder Hostel newsletter, which describes what is available. But in addition to those three classes, which we had during the daytime, we also had trips. We took a barge trip on the barges there, which they still have in eastern Pennsylvania, and we did many other things. Okay, what I'd like to do now is to pass these out. These are action steps that you can take regarding your health habits, and see how well you do with these. Do you have regular checkups or medical screenings? It says, do you follow your physician's advice? Do you consult your doctor about persistent or reoccurring pain or other symptoms? Do you see your dentist at least once a year? My son-in-law is a dentist. So I have to plug that. Do you eat a balanced diet? You all know what the balanced diets are.
50% raw, 50% cooked, lightly.
Is that it?
Or the second 50%?
50% raw, 50% cooked, and light, not overcooked, and no beef or pork, just unless, maybe once in a while.
Sounds horrible.
It's good, you get so much healthy feeling.
How about taking only prescribed vitamin and mineral supplements?
Just vitamins, you mean?
Yeah.
Yes, indeed.
Only prescribed, right?
Oh, no. If you wait for that, you will take.
Only vitamins prescribed.
That's what it says. Do you do that? Yes or no?
I do.
And how about meal times? Are they a pleasure rather than a chore?
Yes.
Sometimes.
Sometimes?
Depends on what we're cooking on, right?
How do you like the meals up here?
Great. They're wonderful.
Yeah.
50-50.
When I had a group up here 9 years ago, we came back from Alaska and stayed here for 5 days. A couple Sundays ago, I was at this church preaching, and the fellow told me, he said, "I hope you have some good food up there, because I had to go down to the snack bar every time."
The food.
I think it's improved.
Yeah, it's excellent.
Right.
I don't think
How about getting enough sleep and rest to feel refreshed the next day? Relaxing and laugh daily? Participating in civic activities, politics, or other community activities? You can do too much. You know, we have 30 million members of AARP, and we could have the biggest influence if we used it correctly. Pursuing hobbies and crafts, which give you a sense of accomplishment, and stretching your mental horizon by reading, studying, or attending cultural events.
You know, you can do one thing so much that you aren't aware that you lose some basic skills. I teach piano and I love it, and I do so much of that, mm-hmm. that I think I've let other things go, that my thinking is just so slow and not at all in other direction.
You can become one-sided, you know.
Yeah, I know.
By neglecting, I do not want to by neglecting all of this.
If you start now and do more of those things that you dream of doing later, if you retire before you retire, according to Alan Frohn in his book on life and work, that's when to do it.
Yeah, but how do you have time to do that? You know, if you work full time and you do all the things you gotta do, how do you have time to do that? That's...
Well, they're suggesting that if you make a daily schedule.
I know, but I can't follow up.
By planning activities around fixed points of the day.
Right.
That is like after breakfast or before lunch.
I agree.
You mean like do the same thing every day?
No, just plan something. To have something that you're going to do.
And not just get up in the morning.
Right.
Last school year, I babysat for my daughter because she had a young fellow in kindergarten, and the girl was in second
grade. That's a planned activity.
And I had to be there at 11:30, so I'd leave my house at 11 because I live a ways away, and I got more done at home in the morning.
Oh, yeah.
Or the evening than I ever do otherwise.
That's absolutely true.
Yeah.
when I work part-time, I get much more done than when I do not work, because I think, oh, I have lots of time. I have the whole day, and I don't get it done.
That's good.
But when you schedule something, or you say, I want to get that done and that done, and you get much more done. You can just fool around and do nothing for weeks and months. You can, if you do not, you put yourself down and say, I am doing this, I am doing that, and by next week. I mean, you can be flexible.
Now this year it'll be after school only, so.
Yeah, but you just kind of hassle a little more, and it's amazing what one can do.
How about committing yourself to several activities and following through with them? Somebody mentioned you can become too involved. Don't spread yourself too far. Yes?
With reference to that number 13 there, that something my wife and I have done for the last year that we found extremely enjoyable was volunteering to usher at our local act, which is the theatrical group, both for children and for adults at matinees. Mm-hmm. And it's really been a cultural thing that we weren't aware of. And particularly the children's plays that they have, and they're always looking for people to volunteer their time for that. So you get a real bonus on that.
Yeah.
And it's been an experience.
What are some other ways of volunteering? That's good.
No, one thing you didn't mention that a friend of ours in Shelton has done, but it's on he's a retired executive, and I don't know what the source is, but he volunteers to go help companies in his expertise, and he doesn't get paid for it, but all his expenses are paid. So if he was in management and business, or in production of, in his case, was plywood production, so he went to Central America, and he would go to a plant and help them for a few months, so you know, and live in another country.
Right.
And for people with technical or professional skills, that's a phenomenal way to see the world at a low price and share your skills. The dilemma, just take a half a minute, when he got to showing these people how to cut plywood and make plywood better, you have to be very careful how you tell somebody how to do it, because they'll resent people coming in, so you have to be there for a while to sort of get acquainted. And so he finally got them how they could cut every piece evenly, because the equipment was loose and not tightened down. The next shift come on, and all of a sudden they found that the plywood cutter wasn't working like it always did, and they changed it back so it cut the uneven lengths of plywood again. So it's frustrating, but it's a neat way to share your skills.
Yes.
There's a program called SCORE,
which
is, I think it stands for Citizens or
Senior Corps of Retired Executives.
And I volunteered in that thing for a couple times, and that's really interesting, because you get involved with many different retired executives, and you use your skill to, what we did was we were working with the Small Business Administration and giving a lawyer, an accountant, an engineer, an insurance person, and people like that would give advice as to how a person was starting business, what they would need to get in business. And that worked. That was kind of a really fun thing to do.
What's it called? SCORE?
SCORE.
SCORE. Senior Corps Retired Executives. Yes.
One simple way to get involved is the schools constantly need help, whether it be playground supervision, helping with a remedial reading program, lunch program, anything. The hours there are extra.
Yeah, we call it a mentor program down in Florida, where older adults go in and assist as a student assistants to the teachers and so forth. Yes.
Our newspaper has a list every hour. It only comes out on Wednesday, but there's always a list of things where you can be helpful. Volunteer.
Right. How about the church? Do you know if the church has any volunteer opportunities? I mean, I'm talking about the church-wide church, like the ELCA now.
I was going to say that we have tax accountants that come down to the senior center and help us in tax season.
And those are in some places sponsored by AARP. They're the ones who help with income taxes.
Do you want to hear more about this?
Sir?
Commission on Aging?
Yeah.
There's a new program in the ELCA that those of us who were in ALC or ELCA before, AELC or whatever.
Or LCA.
No, LCA had it, but the other two did not.
All right.
And it's called the Commission on Aging.
Mm-hmm.
And they felt, the planners of the Constitution felt it was a good thing to keep. And so it's carried over into the ELCA. And this is a, we have a chairman of the commission for the church proper, and then he wants staffers in each conference. And they even paid my way to the retreat last summer, and I said I got drafted as a staffer for Wyoming, and I did not want to do it alone, so I drafted a couple more people, and there are three of us as co-staffers. And then we're supposed to get a representative from each church to work together and pool resources. We're supposed to be a source of a source person for them and find out what the what's available in the churches and what their problems are, and
for women's work or the whole church?
It's retirees. Well, not just retirees, but they want, you know, people that have time to give their input to the church.
You're looking out for problems. Is that for the whole church or just for the retirees?
No, this is for anything in the church that person is supposed to look for. Volunteer opportunities and so
forth. We've had a program in Florida for a number of years now, which we call the senior staffers.
That's what this is.
And you know what youth staffers are in many of the synods, where young people give a year to help out in the youth programs throughout the synod. The senior staffers, as she is explaining now, are people who volunteer their time, they're paid their expenses as they go around to the parishes and they help with problems and setting up programs and opportunities for not only seniors but also for the entire congregation.
Was that LCA?
That was LCA.
Uh-huh. Here you sit and let me try to explain.
But it's all right. We even had in Florida the Missouri Synod, which worked with us on it, and it was an inter-Lutheran program. So I'm glad that the ELCA is going ahead with it as well. But there are other opportunities in the church-wide agency. Or volunteers. You know what the Peace Corps is? In the ELCA, or in the former ALC, I think there was an opportunity for full-time volunteers to go around and to be sent places and do things.
Patterned after the Peace Corps?
Yeah. Patterned something after the Peace Corps. To go into mission fields where they needed expertise, similar to the expertise we have in the SCORE programs, things of that nature. We had a man in our parish in Fort Lauderdale who was signed up for the Peace Corps, and he was in the retirement age.
We've got a retired man in our congregation who was a retired machinist, and he volunteered to go to Nicaragua set up a power plant. And so.
Right. And some of the denominations have a group that they travel around in trailers, in recreation vehicles, and they go around and they do all kinds of work for local churches, even building them, even repairing them, things of that nature. The Methodists are in that kind of a program. And they travel all over the country and give their time and their energy in that way.
Is Jimmy Carter involved in the house building?
That's called Habitat for Humanity. And that's a real program of volunteerism. And there are a number of places throughout the country and throughout the world where that's in operation now. It started out near Jimmy's hometown in Georgia. And we visited that one time when we took a group of seniors up to Luther Ridge, which is our facility up in the mountains of North Carolina near Asheville.
It was a church that burned down in Alaska, and they wanted volunteers to go and help them rebuild the church.
Mm-hmm.
The person could be going all the time.
Right. So there are many opportunities for volunteerism.
Holding village,
right.
3 weeks to a year.
That's what I'm doing these 2 weeks. I'm volunteering, you know, to teach. Volunteer for a longer period of time if you want to. How about travel? Is that a good way of using your retirement time? Are there any ways of traveling less expensively than having to pay about the prices?
Walking. If there are, share it with us.
Yes. Yes.
There's a way of going on freighters and taking a slow barge to Australia or something that some people find very interesting. Some of those freighters will take just a limited number of people, but some friends of mine in Wyoming did that, and they just had a wonderful time, and it was very relaxing. And
when we took our groups up to Alaska through the Inland Passage, we used a ship called the SS Universe. And I have a jacket here, which has got the insignia on it. This is a student ship, which is used during the course of the year as a ship filled with students that traveled all over the world. And they live on the ship, and they go around the world, and they learn that way. Semester at Sea, it's called. In the summertime, they have cruises from Vancouver up to Anchorage. And for a 2-week cruise, it's cheaper than a 1-week cruise on
Holland America Line.
Or do they take seniors to?
Oh, yes. I took a group of seniors with me twice.
What's the name of it?
It's called the SS Universe.
It's not a luxury ship, but it's, you know, it's fine. Instead of offering you 10 courses for dinner, they may offer you 3 or 4. Okay, so the first time we went, which was a negative according to some of the people we took. You had to actually stand in line and, you know, get your food cafeteria style, and a lot of people didn't like that. But they have since changed that, and they had a nice lounge with a harpist every night, and they didn't have the big name entertainers, but they had entertainers, but of a lesser cost, you know. And but it was just great, and it went way up to Anchorage. On a lot of these real expensive cruises, only go up to, you know, like halfway.
Where would we find information about any of these? I've never heard of any of them. And
it's called Read the Fine Print, which we do all the time. And you'll see the travel agents don't use
this. Right.
I don't think.
And they go out of Vancouver,
British Columbia,
right?
Right, out of Vancouver, British Columbia. And I can get you the name and the address of the
And they have naturalists which get on board after you go up a ways, and they tell you all about how icebergs are formed and all this stuff.
That's in Glacier Bay.
And you don't have to dress up all the time. You can go wear the same thing from morning to night.
And you don't change 10 times a day. It's so nice to go along, so you don't have to worry about the evening guns.
Right.
More reasonable touring could be like educational things. We took a Shakespeare tour through the University of Bellingham, and that was, it was a tour-like thing. We stayed in bed and breakfast, and but it was educationally oriented, but there's still package tours, and they're more reasonable than going on your own. And so there are bargains in them. There's also ways to sign up at the last minute for certain tours and cruise ships, I guess.
Oh, yeah.
And you go at half the price.
Right, if you're tour, flexible and able to go when those opportunities come. And you know, it's a lot cheaper to fly if you know how to fly the right way.
Well, there's a new thing.
Off-season. Not only off-season, but if you use these advantages which they have, Delta, for instance, you can buy 8 tickets for how much, Rose?
Shade under 600. I flew, because he went under another auspices, but my ticket way up here from Florida and back cost me $150. You can't beat that round trip.
No.
I mean, I could go to Arizona to see our kids for $150. You know, you can't beat it. That's $75 each way. And that's a Delta senior citizen ticket. Yeah. And anybody can buy that.
You can only get your ticket. You can only get your ticket 6 days before.
That's right. And that sometimes is a little problem. But when we came out here, I had a reserved ticket because I'm here also for AARP and they helped me get out here. And she could only make her reservation 6 days ahead. My flight was all full as far as seniors being allowed to come on that flight from Fort Lauderdale to Dallas up to Seattle. It was only full from Dallas up to Seattle. It wasn't full from Fort Lauderdale to Dallas. So she got on with me and we flew to Dallas. But then there was another flight from Dallas to Seattle, which I wasn't on, but we were able to get together on after spending 3 hours.
You can usually get out.
Not 2 hours earlier than me. It wouldn't be a big deal.
No.
If you can save that much money.
We've flown different airlines in the past because I had frequent flyer credits on Piedmont, so that I was able to fly on Piedmont and she flew on Delta. So we came to the same place. Okay?
So would you say you have to do is buy 8 tickets at Bonton?
Okay, 4 tickets are, now they usually change the price like in November. Gotta remember that. So if you buy it before November, it's 4 tickets are